As I always say, when I was here, I got married just at the back of the hall there. That was the last time I was very nervous. I've been through four seasons this morning, spring, summer, autumn, winter. At Chartwell, just going past Chartwell, it was quite sunny, and then it started to get very cold, and then it poured with rain, then the sun came out again, then it was spring-like, and I got to Bricket Wood, and it's winter again. So the weather in this country is crazy, isn't it? I spoke to Mr. Marks last night, just very briefly. He's back from France, and he didn't tell me to keep it to 50 minutes, you see, so if I go over time today, I'm sure you'll forgive me. I'll time myself in case. If you like titles to a sermon, the title of this sermon is Prepare to Rule. Prepare to Rule. Somebody said to me just during the last few days that they didn't really want to rule under Christ. And I thought to myself, that's interesting, because the concept of rulership, most people in the world today feel, you know, they'd be lording it over somebody else. And of course, that's not God's type of rulership. We're called to be rulers to serve other people. And with the knowledge we have, it's very valuable. And God wants us to serve other people and rule in love, obviously. I think we all know that. There's not much I can tell people here because you're all quite old-timers in the church. Most of the faces I recognise and know. So I have to be careful what I say because I know that there's not a lot you don't know. So if I'm covering ground that you do know, I apologise in advance. Anyway, let's look at Proverbs chapter 22, the last verse there, and notice what it says here. Proverbs 22 and verse 29. Do you see a man, or man or woman, the church doesn't speak, or the Bible doesn't speak, non-gender inclusive. This is gender inclusive. Do you see a man or woman diligent in his or her business? He or she shall stand before kings. Not only will we stand before kings, we will actually be kings. We're going to be kings and we're going to rule, as you know, under Jesus Christ in the future, in the millennium, and then on into the time when everybody else has their chance to be called into the truth. But the Bible says here, do you see a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men or men of no repute, I think that means. But that's the way God wants us to develop. We're to grow. We're not supposed to be fools as such, although perhaps when we were called, we were fools when we first came into the truth. I certainly was. But notice also in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, what it says here. It says in verse 1, just to get the context here, dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And in Revelation it talks about us being kings and priests, doesn't it? But we're going to judge the world. It doesn't mean we're going to tell them what to do and beat them over the head if they don't obey us as such. But we are going to judge the world, and in that process we have to develop the very mind of Christ, the very mind of Christ and God the Father now, so we can do that effectively. And it says, if the world be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? And quite honestly, I'm horrified when I see Christians taking each other to court. It's a terrible thing. Shouldn't be that way. The Bible tells us we should be perfectly joined together of one mind and one hope and one spirit. But probably like you, I feel horrified when I see people taking each other to court in the church. Even in the church of God, it's happened in the past. That shouldn't be the case. Carrying on in 1 Corinthians 6, know ye not that we shall judge angels? We're going to judge angels. That's a thought, isn't it? I wonder how the angels will feel about being judged by us, by human beings. And that's what the scriptures tell us. That's what an apostle told us, that we're going to judge angels. We will probably have angels brought before us and explain the details of what they've done, good or bad. And we will judge them. We will comment to the Father and perhaps to a council of some kind about their future. That's an awesome future, a terrible responsibility that we have. It's not just a question of being called to be sunbeams. I think we all know that. But we do have an awesome responsibility in the future. How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, why do you set those to judge who are least in the church? And Paul says here, I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? You see, there has to be wise men amongst us. God wants us to be as wise as he is. That's what we're called to be like in the church. And God can just pour out his spirit into our human physical minds. And in that transformation, we become like God and like Christ. And the Bible says that when we have God's spirit, it is Christ in us. So that is a very important responsibility. And Yes, verse 5. I speak to your shame. Is it not so that there's not a wise man among you, not one that should judge between his brother and brother? But brother goes to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. That's a shocking thing, a terrible thing. And we should all speak the same thing. We should be at one mind and of one faith and one hope. We should all be perfectly joined together. There shouldn't be any schism in the body of Christ. Shouldn't be any schism in the church of God. And of course, we all know there is, and you know that subject. I've given, I think the last time I was here, I gave a sermon on the need for unity. However, life is not dull in God's church. It certainly shouldn't be, because God is the most exciting being you can imagine, the most exciting being in the universe, and his son Jesus Christ was too. The book of Acts tells us that of recording everything that Christ did, and everything that Christ did in his life, the world couldn't contain everything that he did. He put it in books. So, obviously, God is the most exciting being you could possibly imagine. Has a very dynamic mind and has a very fantastic plan for us. I saw on television the other day somebody suggesting, if you're feeling a little bit down, to read Isaiah 40. So I tried it out, and it worked. I looked through here. I picked up Isaiah 40 the other day, one morning. I just, sometimes you don't really feel like studying. And I read up Isaiah 40, and it says here, verse 1, comfort you, my people, says your God. Speak you comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for her sins. Now, you'll see where I'm going with this in a moment. It says in verse 9, O Zion that brings good tidings. Now, we are Zion in a sense. Zion is a type of the church. O Zion that brings good tidings. Get thee up unto the high mountains of Jerusalem, to the government circles perhaps. O Jerusalem that bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Sound to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm will rule for him. Verse 10, behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He shall feed his flock. So God is feeding his flock. God feeds his flock in the church of God today like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and he shall gently lead those that are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out the heaven with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of God, or being his counselor? Who has taught God? Does anybody want to teach God anything? Some people do want to teach God things. I know people who have said, well, I don't think God's got this plan right. He's made a mess of it once before. I mean, it's a ridiculous thing to say. I mean, they're counseling God. It's a dangerous thing to do. With whom took he counsel, and who instructed God? Who instructed God to put this plan together? I've often wondered about this, that God's been around for eternity. I think I've mentioned this before. What was God doing a thousand years ago? What was God doing 8,000 years ago before humanity was on this earth? What was God doing a million years ago? What was God doing 100 million billion years ago? That sounds a ridiculous question, doesn't it? But God did exist then because he's eternal. God inhabits eternity. And I like to think on these things because I think to myself, has God ever done anything like this before? It's a thought. I don't know either way whether this is the first time God has ever done this plan, created this plan to make God beings. If somebody can show me a scripture where it says this is the only plan he's done, I'd be interested, but I can't see anything that is proven to be the very word of God. But that's speculation. I want to double emphasize that. That's Jardine speculation. So please don't tell anybody that. Mind you, our local pastor's here. He'll probably correct me afterwards anyway. But I wonder about these things. Anyway, that's speculation. Where was I? Yes, Proverbs 22. I went there, didn't I? Isaiah 40. Just carrying on in Isaiah 40 here. Some very positive scriptures here, which are very interesting. You'll see where I'm going with this in terms of preparing to rule. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and accounted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he takes up the isles as a very small thing. And verse 17, Isaiah 40. All nations before him are as nothing. That's a statement, isn't it? To God, the nations are nothing. But obviously his people are very special to him because we are training to become God beings, God-like beings, having the fullness of the mind of Jesus Christ. And they accounted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will you liken God, Isaiah says? And what likeness will you compare to him? I found this inspiring. I've read it before, but it was just inspiring the morning I read it, so I thought I'd share it with you. Verse 21, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sits upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. That stretches out the heavens as a curtain and spreads them out as a tent to dwell in. He makes the princes of the earth to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth as vanity. Now, it doesn't mean God doesn't care about us, but God is trying to show us that the way we do things just is wrong. It's just not God's way. And God's allowing us to experiment and experience every type of government we can possibly come up with to see that in the end, God will turn around and say, well, you know, I was right after all. That's what God's going to say, in effect. And I thought this week, I don't know whether anybody watched the G8 conference. Anybody keeping up with the G8 conference this week, which was quite interesting? And I don't know whether you noticed where it was held. I thought that was significant. This is, again, purely speculation on my behalf, but it was held in Lower Loch Inn. Apparently, I looked that up, and I know for a fact, because I went there a few years ago, and we did a program on the Key of David, on where Jeremiah went, and the history of Ireland, and how the throne was planted in Ireland, then in Scotland, then back in London. You know, the three overturns predicted, which I believe that. I wouldn't stake my eternal life on it, but I do believe it. I believe that there were three overturns of the throne. And Loch Ian, that area, is known to the Irish as a very sacred part of Ireland, very sacred area. And it is on Devonish Island in Loch Ian, apparently, that Jeremiah's tomb is. In fact, we went to visit that a few years back. That's when we did this program on it for American television. But I thought that was interesting. That's where they had this conference with the eight leading nations in this part of the world to discuss many, many things. Amongst some of them were what's going to happen in Syria. But I thought that was interesting that area was chosen, Loch Inn. And of course, that's where Jeremiah went with the daughters of Zedekiah. And if you've read anything about the throne of David and the